Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, none of this is possible, and the show wouldn't exist. So then how would you have a way to alienate your family during the holidays? You wouldn't. Thank you all so much. All right, I got a couple of creepypastas I'm going to read. Now, these are listener-submitted, so they are going to be primo. They're going to be amazing. The first one, it comes in from a gal. Her name is Jessica Schaefer. Now, I have not read this yet, and I am told by producer Travis, it's pretty spooky, so I might get a little scared right along here with you. All right, the name of this one is, well, just judging by the title alone, it's absolutely horrifying. The name of this one is Henry's Friend. Henry's Friend. Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we go, folks. Strap in, have a Bud Light. Or don't, if you don't drink anymore, which is totally fine, by the way. Stone Cold Steve Austin stopped drinking, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to, you can. Because if he can, anyone can. He's doing DDP yoga, which I was thinking about doing just the other day for about 4 seconds. And then I thought about doing something different, which was not doing that. Okay, Henry's Friend. Henry sat against a tree in the goat pen. Well, that actually makes sense. I could see Henry sitting in a goat pen. But this is not Henry Zebrowski, I don't think. Okay. Henry sat against a tree in a goat pen, resting in the shade. If his parents caught him out here, still in his good church clothes, he'd get a whipping. Oh my goodness, a different time indeed. The sermon in church had disturbed Henry, and he needed a few minutes of peace before his Saturday chores. They went to church on Saturday. Real religious home. His goat lay beside him. Okay. His goat lay beside him, idly munching on hay. Henry petted his back, taking comfort in the nearness of his only friend. Aw. They said in church today that goats are Satan's servants, Henry told the goat, throat thick with tears. But you're my friend. The goat sighed and chewed its hay, paying absolutely no attention to the boy. They said that goats are the devil's familiars, and if our goats act strangely, we must kill them immediately and burn the bodies. I don't know what to believe. I've never seen any goats act strangely. I don't think you're Satan's familiar. You're my friend. But why would they lie? Indeed, why would somebody lie in church? Can you imagine that? A pastor lying? No way. So Henry's like, why would they lie? It's church. That's the place where they always tell the truth. It's not like the whole premise of the institution is based on a flawed logic. No, it is. They're telling the truth. So the goat's like sitting there by him, and Henry's like, oh my God, he's contemplating. So the goat sighed again and gently butted its head against Henry's arm, almost like a cat, like a big cat. Father wants to kill you, Henry said. Was it his imagination, or did the goat suddenly become very still? He thinks I spend too much time with you and not enough time on the chores. He thinks you are working dark magic on me. Henry continued, I think he's crazy. You're a good goat. I don't know what to do. What should I do? Well, if you're asking the goat what you should do, he's probably going to say, don't kill me. The goat heaved a huge sigh, stood up and shook the dust and bits of hay from its rough coat. It looked down at Henry and said, kid, I don't fucking know. Why are you asking me? Just don't let your father fucking kill me. Henry stared in shock, watching his goat trot off into the sunshine. The goat talks. It's a talking goat. Oh my God. Sell it to the circus. Make some money. Wow, that's incredible. Well, thank you, Jessica Schaefer. That's some creepy stuff there. Kid got a friend for a goat. And then, got a goat for a friend, I guess. And then the goat's talking to Henry. Wow, kid, I don't fucking know. Why are you asking me? Just don't let your father fucking kill me. Well, who taught him the curse words? There it is. Henry's Friend. Thank you, Jessica Schaefer. A creepy tale indeed.
Live from your grave.
All right, it's time for another creepy spaghetti. This one comes in from Andrea York. Thank you so much for submitting. And it's holiday themed, just in time for Christmas. Okay, everyone, here it is. December 21st. My 31st birthday, I sit on the floor of my empty living room opening the presents my family mailed to me. Mom got me a Fitbit because her version of loving me is to remind me a woman must never get fat. I strap it on and walk. And by the way, that was her mother saying that. I just read that. Don't take that out of context. And you'd be like, Ben said this. No, this is according to the story about women and weight. I don't care what weight you are, man or woman. I love you just the same. I strap it on. Uh-oh, she's talking about a Fitbit. And walk around the house a little so I won't feel guilty for spending the rest of the day drinking wine on the couch and listening to podcasts on my phone. Honestly, that's a great way to spend your day. Throw in some WWE Network and you got yourself a Ben Kissel Saturday and most Tuesdays. December 22nd. So December 21st was her birthday, 31 years old. December 22nd, I wake up to the Fitbit blinking red, and my first thought is, it knows I'm about to have a heart attack, and it's trying to warn me. Turns out the goddamn thing yells at you when you've been inactive for a certain amount of time. I begrudgingly get up and walk a few laps around the house to appease the little fucker. Later, blinking red again. Fuck you, Mom! I get back up and angrily pace a lap around the house. It dawns on me I could just walk the same circular track around the house while listening to my murder podcast and get my steps in that way. I am aware that if anyone could see me, they'd have me committed, but I justify to myself that people walk for hours on treadmills, so this isn't weird. Just in case, I make sure my blinds are tightly closed. It's dark out. I start to turn on some lights, but get paranoid one of my neighbors will be smoking on their porch and see my creep-ass silhouette pacing back and forth, so I switch them back off. By now, I've done this lap enough that I've got muscle memory going for me, and finally my lack of furniture feels like a bonus rather than a reminder that most of my stuff was his. Must have been a breakup. I keep moving in the faint gray glow of the streetlights that manages to seep in between my curtainless blinds. All right, honestly, this is good exercise. I have no problem with this. And if anyone's sitting there judging you for pacing inside of your living room, ask them, are you a peeping Tom? Leave me alone. Stop looking in my damn windows. That's what I would say to them. All right, December 23rd. We're getting towards Christmas Eve here. Maybe she's got some presents strewn about. Steps. They echo. December 23rd, steps. They echo off the bare walls and wood floor. I've developed a rhythmic gait. It feels, oh my, it feels almost like meditation or a sort of trance I've put myself into. I remember hearing once that if a shark stops swimming, it will drown. That is true. Sharks have to keep on moving. They'd kill a Fitbit. A Fitbit for sharks. No need at all. December 24th. When I was a child, I was obsessed with a fairy tale called The Red Shoes. Well, as long as it's not The Red Shoe Diaries, that is fine for a child. The Red Shoe Diaries, for those that don't know, Dylan McDermott. He got a big break in The Red Shoe Diaries. And what was the other guy from X-Files? David Duchovny. He was a saucy character in there. So that's fine. This is The Red Shoes. It's allowed for kids. In it, now this is according to, this is the story. This is the fairy tale called The Red Shoes. In it, a vain young girl goes out dancing as her mother lays dying, and so is cursed that her feet will not stop dancing ever after. Oh. Finally, she begs an executioner to chop them off, and something about the final image of her crutching her stumpy self up to church to ask forgiveness and being confronted with her own red-slippered feet tapping away in the church doorway both fascinated and haunted me. Again, this is December 24th. This is Christmas Eve. So it's interesting that she's thinking about this stuff. December 25th, Christmas. I unwrap the presents from those who recognized it's fucking cheap to lump my birthday and Jesus together. Methodically break down the boxes and dispose of the paper. And just like that, the house is back to clean and empty. I pull up the most recent podcast so there's the sound of something, anything, other than just me in here and start to get my steps. Okay, so this is it. That does suck when you have your birthday and Christmas around the same two-week period, because she's right. People just combine the two, and that ain't fair. Okay, so she's getting her steps. The sun is starting to go down. I don't even think to turn on the lights anymore. I could walk this loop in my sleep. Living room, bedroom, dining room, kitchen. Living room, bedroom, dining room, kitchen. There's a full-length mirror propped against the wall in my bedroom that I can't help but stare at myself in every time I loop past it, analyzing my body for any change from all these steps, trying to ignore my mother's voice, slithering up from the depths of my brain, hissing that I'm still not enough. A flicker out of the corner of my eye. Stop! I could swear as I was turning the corner from my living room to the bedroom, I caught a glimpse of someone's shoulder rounding the next corner. I'm losing it. I mean, obviously, I'm pacing my goddamn house to make a watch happy. But apparently, hallucinating is where I draw the line. It probably doesn't help that I'm listening to the episode about BTK. Although at this point, if there was a murderer biding his time in my closet, he'd definitely be more afraid of me than I of him. To be safe, I do a quick closet check and you... fuck you, Santa sweater, goddammit. Smoke a frigid cigarette half inside my doorway and try to go to sleep. Steps. I wake in the black gray of my bedroom and hear steps. Oh my God, the ghost has a Fitbit. That's incredible. Well, that is some scary stuff. Thank you so much, Andrea. Merry Christmas. We're saying Merry Christmas again. I heard that. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah, whatever you are celebrating. That is really exciting stuff. I guess even a serial killer needs to get a workout in, and maybe I guess they're using your apartment to do it. That is creepy. Wake up. That's where you got to have a little, I don't even know. You could go, I saw a commercial the other day for one of those shotgun holsters. It's a shotgun holder that goes on the side of your bed, which is probably not really where you should have it. You don't need to be like half asleep and just kind of waking up and then you shoot your cat. But nonetheless, you could get one of those or maybe put a samurai sword in there or something and protect yourself. Those BTK episodes are creepy. My God, that guy is he is disturbing. All right. Thank you so much, Andrea. I appreciate your submission.
Live from your grave.
Okay. One more creepypasta. And again, I want to thank everyone for giving to our Patreon. We appreciate you immensely. And if you give just $15,000 for 66.6 months, Six Flags on Us. It is technically real. I had a dream that somebody did it. So who knows? It's possible. We got a billionaire listener out there, and maybe you have a billionaire father and you want to rebel and really make him angry. That would be a fun way to do it. Or don't. I really don't. It does not matter. I'm just joking. Okay. This one is from Jessica Schaefer once again. We got a twofer from Schaefer. I'm excited about it. This one's called The Face. The Face. Very scary. Well, what's scarier is if you don't have one. But now that's actually being remedied with the unbelievable medical sciences, with the advancement of medical sciences. Okay, here we go. The Face, again, written by Jessica Schaefer. The creaks and groans of the old house settling no longer bothered Jenny. Okay. When she'd arrived to babysit her little cousins, the noises had scared the shit out of her. 8-year-old Ethan and 4-year-old Katie were already in bed when she'd shown up at 9 p.m., tucked into their shared room in the attic. Jenny had shooed her aunt and uncle out the door, then locked it behind them. She'd plopped down on the huge leather sectional in front of an old episode of Flipping Houses. Well, that is an old show, Flippin' Houses. I'd always say go with fixer-uppers if you can. Chip and JoJo, America's couple. If they ever get a divorce, I don't even know what's going to happen if that happens. The whole world will collapse immediately. All right. She's watching an episode of Flipping Houses. Then she'd heard also, when it comes to those HGTV shows, House Hunters, they're always like, oh, I don't like the paint. I don't think we can buy the house because of the paint. You just got to paint it. It's the easiest remedy there is. It's the easiest fix around. And there was one episode where a guy wanted more bathrooms, and he kept on making fun of his wife's family for being overweight. Oh, that was a funny one. Okay. She'd plopped down on the huge leather sectional in front of the old episode of Flipping Houses. Then she'd heard the creaking from overhead, as if someone were walking across the wooden planks of the attic. Jenny had assumed the kids were awake, and she hefted herself off the sofa and trotted upstairs to check. She'd paused at the attic door at the top of the steps and listened intently in the dark. It wasn't a large house, and the entire attic consisted of one large bedroom for the children, complete with their own bathroom. Ooh. It was silent except for the muffled TV show from the living room downstairs. Jenny had turned the knob and pushed the door open, fully expecting to see two little kids scramble back into their beds. She'd been greeted, however, by the quiet and the glow of the moon shining through the small diamond window set high in the wall near the apex of the ceiling. Jenny had crept close to each bed, making sure both kids were sound asleep. She glanced around the open space and saw nothing out of the ordinary, backed out of the room and gently closed the door. On the lower floor, she checked each room and every window. All was locked up tight. Feeling reassured the noises were just an old house settling, Jenny got a glass of water and her purse and curled up in front of the TV again. She dug in her purse, snatched out her bottle of Vicodin, and popped a couple. She drained the water, then ran back into the kitchen to fill it with cold white wine. Oh, now we're getting there. I was going to say, why you got to have wine if you're taking care of kids. That's mother's law. Okay, so she's got some wine, she's got some Vicodins, she's got HGTV on. This is a perfect night. After a few minutes, she was feeling pretty chill, watching tiny houses and ignoring the pacing noises from the attic. Again, tiny houses is infuriating. I'm a 6'7", 315-pound man. I fill up that house immediately. I can't remotely even come close to fitting in there. It's a lie. This whole idea that living in a tiny house is somehow better than a big house is a lie. It sounds like Stalin. It's something Stalin would tell the Russians. Okay, so she's watching tiny houses. She's got her Vicodin all up in her guts. She's got her wine to her dome. She's doing good. Her aunt and uncle came through the door around 1 a.m. Jenny could tell they were a little drunk and knew they wouldn't suspect she was mildly stoned. Hugs and cash were exchanged, and Jenny gathered her things to leave. It was a fairly uneventful night, all things considered. Her relatives closed and locked the door behind Jenny, and she crossed the dark porch and driveway to her car, gravel crunching underfoot. She stretched, grateful to be in the cool October air and out of the house. She unlocked her car door by the light of the moon. She tossed her purse in the car, got in, and immediately locked her door, not exactly sure why. Unease tickled her neck as she started her car and turned around in the driveway. She wasn't sure what made her stop the car and check her rearview mirror for one last look at the house. To her horror, a bone-white face with huge black holes for eyes stared out of the diamond attic window directly at her. Jenny hit the gas, spraying gravel in the driveway, and never looked back. Wow. The story actually ends with her getting pulled over for drinking and driving. Goodness gracious. Be careful, people. The face, Jessica Schaefer. That is awesome. Thank you so much. That sort of had a the vibe. There's a great horror film. House of the Devil. I believe it's called House of the Devil. I think it's House of the Devil, where this woman goes, or this young girl goes. She babysits some kids. But it is there ain't kids. They ain't kids. That's what I'll tell you. It's a great horror film if you want to watch something here in the near future. It's kind of a slow burn, so don't expect like a super fast-paced film or anything, but I really liked it. Also, the new Suspiria is badass. If you get a chance, check out the new Suspiria. Well, Andrea and Jessica, thank you so much for submitting some creepy spaghettis, and I will read some more in the very near future. Thank you all again, once again, for giving to our Patreon. We appreciate you. It was so wonderful to see everybody recently in Indianapolis and Chicago, and we'll be back on the road here. 2019 is going to be a busy year for us, and we cannot wait to see you all as we hit the gravel ourselves and hopefully go to a town near you. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.